God's attributes were manifested to his bride in his last day.
The Christian faith goes with trials, difficulties. Jesus Christ called them the gates of hell. It is full of trouble. What is this trouble? The trouble there is because Satan does not want you to reach your destiny. God pulls us from the world and is taking us to a destination. And in that destination, what keeps us going is that there is a prize, there is a reward for the overcomers. And this reward is sevenfold reward. That's why our Bible study today is we're trying to look at the sevenfold reward for the overcomers. Hallelujah. The reward that is awaiting every one of us. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. This is the word of the Lord. Wherefore we labor in serving God, labor in worshiping God, labor. Not this Laodicean church age type of worship. Laziness. You don't want to do anything that will cost you anything. You are in Lagos here. Small reason. Rain didn't make you come to church, but if rain fall tomorrow, you will enter the rain to go to office. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. When he says present or absent, that is whether we are alive or we are dead. And verse 10, for we must all, is compulsory, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, 11 and 12. And all of us that like to judge people here, judge your brethren, but why does thou judge thy brother, or why does thou set and not thy brother? Don't worry, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And verse 12, hallelujah. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And I love the way 1 Corinthians chapter 3 puts it. Long reading from verse 1. Let's read up to verse 17 and get a picture there. May the Lord grant you understanding of every verse so that I don't waste too much time in explaining it verse by verse. But get the picture. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Apostle Paul, even as unto babes in Christ, where you should be matured. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For he that to you we are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. When it comes to deliverance, healing, deliverance, hey, everybody connects. But when you go into the mystery of redemption, people don't seem to be interested. So they never get to understand that we are passing through this earth, and that we are here for a purpose. And we shall meet our maker, and we will give account of how we live our lives here on earth. And not too many people give attention to that, because you are more interested in how to live better life on earth here. The next verse, please. Hallelujah. You are yet a carnal, for whereas, see the kind of thing that happens in the church. For ye are yet carnal. This is evidence of carnality. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Who are they but ministers by whom, through whom, by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? This is it. You must catch this revelation. Apostle Paul caught it. No matter how revelated he was, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Oh, glory be to God. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, the same ministry, it's the same ministry. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The planter has his reward. The waterer have his own reward. For we are laborers together with God. You the church, listen to us. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. That's why he uses the terminology of planting, of foundation. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, see what you are building upon it. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, whatever you build. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, listen now, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But there will be no reward. There will be no reward. Now listen to verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 and 17. Issachar brothers, Elvis, Tradoc, listen very well. Verse 16. I spoke something on Friday night when I brought about eating the communion unworthily. And I stressed what he meant by eating it unworthily. It's not that you are lying, you are cheating, you are gossiping. That is not what makes it unworthy, but how that you lack the understanding of the body of Christ. That lack of understanding, therefore, makes you, you know, not to know how to relate with fellow brothers and sisters. You are calling somebody Brother Elvis, Sister Anguli, Brother Emeka, Sister this, and at the same time you are going behind and finishing the person, and you are not even in talking terms. In that estate, if you come before the Lord and partake of that communion service, you take that bread and body, which is a pronouncement, a declaration of our unity, of our fellowship in the sufferings of Christ, as Apostle Paul put it. When you come like that, I say, for that reason, people are weak, people are sickly, and people even die. The same thing in verse 16. Let's read verse 16 now. Hallelujah. Then he now said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, I have personally also preached, because we don't read what gave rise to verse 16 and verse 17, and therefore we look at the only defilation we know, because the Bible spoke that normally every time we talk of defilation, we're talking of defiling this temple, and we're looking at fornication. Yes, fornication, you are defiling the body, the temple of God, and every other uncleanness. But uncleanness also refers to the condition of your heart. Uncleanness includes hatred, envy. For out of the abundance of the heart, that is where, that is the room, the accommodation of every evil that proceeds from a man. If you allow that in your heart, you are defiling the temple if you're a born again Christian. If you contend that, you allow it and you strive, and please, the worst estate of anybody that has problem is that the person does not realize he has a problem. There is no hope for that problem to be solved. The solution to your problem begins with you identifying that you have, recognizing you have a problem. When you begin to justify something, even when people are telling you what you are doing is wrong, you justify it with any excuse. That is evidence you have no hope for deliverance. Because you will never take that problem before the Lord in prayer, because you don't recognize it. Apostle Paul is talking about divisions within the church, where you begin to select ministers, select ministers, select pastor, select this, select that, select this. I am of this, I am of this. When somebody comes to the altar, you connect. When another minister comes, you disconnect. Some even stand up and walk out. And Apostle Paul is saying that is evidence that you are carnal. And that is evidence you are still a baby in the Lord. Oh, can I tell you something? Praise the Lord. I have learned this years back. Since the day I noticed, I saw that God used an animal to talk to a prophet. Hallelujah. And that message was true. As much as I disagree with the Pope of Rome in his doctrines, I disagree that a woman preacher is out of the will of God. I disagree with what some of these denominational people are doing. If I go anywhere and I hear them preaching, I will immediately bow my head. Lord, you can talk to your prophet through an animal. You can talk to me too, through this person. Hallelujah. Irrespective of who he is. And I always grab something. Anywhere I go, I always grab something. Now that is evidence of spiritual maturity. That is why God gave us tongue. He gave us tongue. That is why when Abraham preached a message, he called it the thinking man's filter. Hallelujah. The tongue of the spirit, hallelujah, is the spirit of discernment. When you receive something, hallelujah, you are able to properly place what you hear and what you see. That is what makes you matured. Hallelujah. Recently, there was disagreement between me and the minister in this church. Do you know that some of you, we are watching I was seeing every day what you people were doing social media. I was seeing and I was saying, hey, Pastor Moses, you still have work to do. For this, and this one for that. This one for this, this one for that. You saw how those pastors were fighting another minister for speaking against who they call their spiritual father. Because they criticized, then they said they will defend him, they will fight. That is the spirit that Apostle Paul was addressing. Praise the Lord. Listen, concentrate more on your spiritual well-being than focusing on people's lives. Hallelujah. When a young girl was telling me last week, Pastor, all that they told her concerning happenings in the church, all that they told her concerning happenings in the church, they say you do this one, they say you do this, they say now you do this, they say this one happened, they are even saying this. And I was just looking at her. Well, all I told her was, you can see they are not talking about my sermons. They are not talking about the doctrines we preach. Hallelujah. They are talking even concerning my own personal life at the home. And then you had some people go into the net and they are saying they are not living what they are preaching. they are not living by what they preach or something like that. They preach one thing, they do another, and all that. And I was telling the young girl, I said, listen, it is what you came looking for in the church that you will concentrate on. If you came to look for eternal life, all your mind will be on how I will get eternal life. If you came here to look for position in the church, that is why you will scheme and scheme and scheme and scheme and scheme and scheme and scheme. If you came here, you are looking for position, opportunity to serve God. That is all you'll be doing, is which area can I serve you, Lord? And you will go there and you will serve God. If you are looking for followership when you come here, then you will be talking like one of them used to do that was here before. You know, this man is a Hausa man. Me and you, we are Igbo. If anything happened, me and you, we will go together. Though they follow that man, and he was among the leaders in the church. He didn't come here to serve God. He came here for politics. He came here to do politics. And he will always have followers. There are people that came here with the same spirit he has. Listen, church. And there are people that came here to look for money. They are hustlers. They come here and all the activities is hustle, 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 hustle. Hustle. In those days, there used to be a prophet here who will come in. When you give him a microphone, he'll be advertising himself, advertising himself. He went for deliverance here, deliverance here, family deliverance here. Now, advert. Then, when he finished that one, the next 3 weeks, he will not be in church. He is at Umunze. From Umunze, he will go to Umunze, was the base. From there, they branch out. And he used to recruit some people to follow him, to train them how to. That is what the person came here for. Praise the Lord. And it's very easy to identify them. Very, very easy. I'm talking because there are pastors that are listening to me. Amen. They are around to, they are not here. They are not in your church to serve God. They are hustlers. Osofia. Osofa. Osofia. What do you call them? Osofia. They are the hustlers. Osofia. 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 They are hustlers. Hustlers. Praise the Lord. Hustlers. Hustlers. Amen. We have every ministry, we have a post. That is the offering that is given for. The offering we receive is for the work of the ministry, is to meet the needs of the ministry. To meet the needs of the ministry. Amen. You see people who come to church, hustlers. They are like husband and wife. Are you married? You are married. You are married. Eh? I am married too. Amen.
Amen.
You know, anything that your wife receives, now she get up.
Not two of us.
Then you never marry. Do you know? Are you married? Anything where your wife receive, anything where she get, she own, now she get up.
No, not for us.
Okay, let me see. Who is a sincere woman here now? Eh? Eh? Who? Are you married? No. You are married. Eh? Okay, let me tell you. They will not agree here now. Husband and wife, anything your wife receive, now me get up. But the one where the husband get, now we get them. Eh? Is it not true? Eh? Eh?
Some people.
Some people. father like that. If she receive it, if na she get them, na me get them. If na the husband get them, na we get them. Some people are like that in the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The general offering, now we get up. But the offering where they give them personal, now me get up. Hustlers. Praise the Lord. And if what you came to the ministry is to acquire, that is where your attention will be. And do you know what? It is what you come to Jesus, you are looking for, he will give you. That is one mystery. Whatever you need, if it is eternal life you need, he will give you. If it is money you are looking for, he will give you. If it is property you are looking for, he will give you. If it is anointing you are looking for, he will give you. That is the interesting thing about this God that we don't seem to understand. Anything you are looking for, you don't want to go to heaven, but you just want marriage. Immediately you sit down, the prophet will be prophesying for you, and it will come to pass. Chap! You will go away. The next time you remember brother assembly, or even remember prayer at all, it's now when you don't marry, if you remain the fruit of the womb. Okay, now there I get the husband, then that is when you go back again. And as soon as you sit down like this, thus said the Lord, by this time next year you will get. Because that is what you are looking for. But listen, praise the Lord. When you come to Christ, listen very well. When you come to Christ, let this be at the back of your mind. You will give account one day of how you served him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why in that 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it said, therefore, judge nothing before the time, because there is a time for such judgment, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and we make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God, have your reward. And may we be properly rewarded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, 11, and 12. And he said unto me, seal not, don't cover the sayings of the prophecy of this book of Revelation, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust. As we come to the end, whichever thing you want to do, whichever way, whichever essay you want to remain, he said, remain like that. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous also, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And may we receive the right reward in the name of Jesus. And we have further assurances of this reward that we looked at. Praise the Lord. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. This is the assurance. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. See, but God has revealed them unto us, the bride of Jesus Christ, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we are blessed that he has, by his grace and mercy, revealed them unto us. Hallelujah. You have to take note of that. Isaiah chapter 64. And verse 4. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. This is the assurance of the reward. We are not running an empty race. There's a reward at the end of the road. That song that I said, for the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Hear that promise there. Hallelujah. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither had he had the eye seen. O God, beside thee, only you, God, know what he, God, has prepared for him that waited for him. Oh, glory be to God. And Psalm 31 and verse 19, the assurance of our reward. Psalm 31 verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12. See the way Jesus Christ put it. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For what? For my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There's a great reward. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 to verse 16. Beloved, he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Let's read it up to verse 16. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Okay, verse 15 and verse 16. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as an, a busybody in other men's matters. Verse 16. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Go to verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And in Matthew chapter 19, this was the assurance he gave his disciples from verse 27 to verse 30. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have thereof? What shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, that is in the millennium, shall sit upon 12 tribes, that he will be sitting ruling, sit in the throne of his glory in the millennium, when he will be coming as the King of Kings to rule on earth here, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you read that scripture very well, he was specific that the 12 disciples will sit upon the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. That lets us know where you come from. That is where you will rule when you come back in the millennium. Amen. Where you come from. I will rule in Nigeria. Rearrange this country. How can I have this knowledge like Christ had? How can I have this knowledge and be busy myself with the politics? You see, pastors, politics. Christians can go, but not pastors. We already have a higher calling than that. Amen. Verse 29 and verse 30. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit. That is the reward. You will inherit everlasting life. Verse 30. Then he added, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Why did he say many that will be first shall be last? Amen. Because it is only those who will endure to the end that will receive the reward. There are people that have started now that we are saying, hey. At the end, they may not make it. Because some people will give up. Even Judas could not make it. He was among those that he was telling. Amen. He was speaking that day. Judah was among. But his position is taken by another. So where is he now placed? Many that are first that shall be last. It's not how you started that matters. It is how you ended. Consistency is the greatest problem in Christianity, both as an individual and as a ministry. Many of us start hot, but after some time we get cold, until one of the ages the Spirit had to tell them to go back to their first love, or he will spew them. Another one said they are neither cold nor hot, they are lukewarm, and you spew them out. But they started hot. Amen. Those who started after them, enter message that came to Nigeria, we are there today. And those of us who came last, we have overtaken them. Amen. If we remain consistent, because Christ has not come, so he who thinks he stands, Pastor Moses, take heed lest you too you fall. We are watchful. And every one of us, Satan can make assignment on any of us. It is the grace of God that enables us to stand. In your individual spiritual life, he said, watch and pray. He who thinks he stands, take heed, be careful, lest you fall. Except God who holds you, there is no one that Satan cannot pull down. And when Satan wants to pull you down, sometimes you don't even know you're already down, and you are thinking you are still up. Because your spiritual estate, hallelujah, is not measured by the indices you have ascribed to yourself. Your spiritual estate, you may be far from God and you may not know it, because the anointing is still flowing. And it is not the anointing that determines whether you are right with God or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you have nothing by which you judge yourself by to know what estate you are finished. And the only thing you use is not your feeling. It's not the testimonies that people give from your ministry. It's not the healing that takes place when you pray, Pastor Moses. It's not even the number of people that give their life to Christ that go for water baptism after you preach. It's not the number of people that have increased in your ministry that determines whether you are right with God. You see why he said, he who thinks he stands, take it lest you fall. You may even fall, but you may not know you have already fallen. And it's very easy to know that you have fallen. Listen, it is very easy to know, but we are too much preoccupied with what is in our mind to look at that simple way of knowing whether you are standing or not. And the first thing Satan gets a hold of you is your conscience. When you trip aside, you do what God has warned you against through the scripture, through a revelation you have when you started ministry work, when you started serving God. When you are drifting away and doing some of those things, when you start, the first time you start, you'll be feeling condemned. Small time again, you go, you'll still be feeling condemned. Instead of you to retract, you continue. Very soon, that voice that speaks to you, remember, the voice that rebukes you, listen very well, the voice that encourages you in ministry work, my servant, pull him down. Cast, I give you power, cast out devil. That voice comes very loud. But the voice that corrects you is a still small voice. Are you hearing me? The voice that corrects you when you are going off, he doesn't shout. You don't hear it in your ear. You hear it from inside. When you refuse to take heed, that voice silences. Then you continue and you are not hearing it again. Then you begin to think you are right with God. That is the point where your conscience is now seared. And when your conscience is seared, there is no more fear of God, no more fear of the word of God. You begin now to drink iniquity as water. And that is when all you have ever acquired in spiritual virtues before God is eroded. And it will shock you that when we get there that day, you will have nothing for reward. It will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first shall be the last shall be the first. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are laborers and there is a reward for labor. That's why you see Matthew chapter 20 verse 16. Here, from verse 1, if you read it from verse 1, he says something about the call of laborers. He called some in the morning, he called some in the afternoon, and he called some at the 11th hour, just as the work is about to be finished. Hallelujah. And he gave them their reward. The reward for those who started at the 9th hour is the same reward he also gave those that started at the 11th hour. Praise the Lord. But in verse 16, what did he say? Matthew 20. He says, so the last shall be the first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Praise the Lord. So that you'll understand the parable of those two servants in Matthew 21, verse 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. 28 to 32, Matthew 21. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go walk today in my vineyard. He call you. He call you. And he answered and said, I will not. He refused to go, but afterward, he repented and went. Hallelujah. And he came again. He came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But did not go. And went not. And the Lord in that parable is asking that question. Which of those two did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Hallelujah. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believe him not. You see now? But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, you repented not afterward, that he might believe him. You know what that parable is telling you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Two categories of people that God uses, God calls. And they are all his servants. The first one, he says, go. Hallelujah. The first one, what did he say? Did he agree to go? He said, I will not go. But after, he went. Amen. Amen. The second one, go. He said, I will go. But after, he didn't go. Who is this one? Amen. This is how William Branham put it. Amen. He says that those who are actually called, those who have the genuine call, he said they are always afraid to launch out. But it is those who don't have the call that quickly run, and they tell you they want to go. They are the one disturbing. I want to go. Listen very well. That is the ahimas for you. Listen, church. Because if you are going to serve God, he said, first, count the cost. When you say go, why did he refuse? It's not stubbornness. So he looked very well first and saw, if I am going to serve God, there is a cost. There is a cost. And Prophet Daniel, you said you were watching a man of God that God was using mightily on television, and you were saying, Lord, use me the way you are using that man. Well, it's Prophet Daniel. What did you say? What did the Lord tell you? And the voice spoke to you, said, can you pay the price? He said, can you? Eh? He said so.
Yeah, he said, can you pay the price?
He said, can you pay the price? You are just seeing people, God is using them. Do you know what he's going through? By the time you sit down and look at what a pastor goes through, you will never like to be a pastor. If you know, all of you that run to go and start ministry, you know what happens now when you start. I'm always very happy when those who trouble me here leave here and go and start a pastoral ministry. I'm always very happy. I say, hey, as you give me now, so you will see her now. The most difficult ministry, apart from the apostolic ministry, the most difficult of the fivefold ministry is the pastoral ministry. You may not know what I'm saying until you come on board. And that's why when a brother, I had a problem with somebody, a member of the church, and then a brother came and from outside, he's not even a member of this church, and he says he wants to settle us. I told him, I said, if you were a pastor, you are pastoring a church, I said, your counsel will be more valuable to me because you will be counseling me from experience. You are not a pastor. You want to come and give pastor counsel on how to handle issues in the church. Praise the Lord. People don't know what we go through in this office. Once you come here, that is when people should know that outside, between you and them, they can't even cross your way. They now can stand before you and talk nonsense. And you cannot react because you're a pastor. You hear all manner of funny things apart from the arrows we receive when we stand here like this. Assignments they make against us. Where they take our names to. The attack we receive. Directly and indirectly, just to distract you. I was a better Christian before I became a pastor. My spiritual life was better. See me now, I'm conducting deliverance on someone. The spirit will be telling me, I'm not going. Before I became a pastor, I don't speak two times, the demon will go. But now that I became a pastor, you think send up for brother assembly and begin deliverance? Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Amen. When you look at even before you become a Christian, he said, count the cost. Because he said, if you will follow me, you must pick up your cross. So you think it's a rosy journey, the Christian journey? Hallelujah. That's why some people refuse to become Christians. God sees them to be more sincere than you, who just gave your life to Christ, you would run to the altar. But when it is time now to obey the word of God, that is where you find you wanting. But you came to the altar. You didn't understand where you are coming to. And Satan is out there to give you alternatives. The easier way than the way of the cross. And that's why you have all manner of churches. It doesn't matter, churches. Tell me, it doesn't matter. Why they say it doesn't matter? That rough, that straight and narrow way. It doesn't matter. Follow the wide way. Our members are many. Let's go. It's grace. But the end of it is destruction. And so, these two servants are two categories of people. Who said, I will go? And he didn't go. When he said he didn't go, he didn't do what he was asked to do. He decided to serve God his own way. That's what we're trying to stress here. so that you will serve God and serve him acceptably. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, this is, hallelujah, the admonishment of Apostle Paul. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Don't make sacrifice, come to Christ without a reward. And every man that striveth for the mastery, if you are going to excel in anything you do, is temperate in all things, careful. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And they have also run, Apostle Paul, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's running with certainty. He knows what is ahead for him. Therefore, he said, but I keep under my body, I check my life, and bring it unto subjection. Subjection to what? To the will of God, to the word of God. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, Pastor Moses, I myself should be a castaway. It shall not be my portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is he saying? In this Christian race, we are to run by the rules and we are to run acceptably. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is why Apostle Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Praise the Lord. Humble yourselves. And humble here is to submit yourself to the will of God. Bury your will in the will of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Exalt here is reward you in due time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this reward in due time is in sevenfold. And that is why this study we are making, we title it The Sevenfold Reward for the Overcomers. This is part two today. Praise the Lord. It's sevenfold, and seven is God's number for completion.